Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Do you hear the words of that song this morning? What's that song, song based on? Which scripture in the Bible? If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and what? Pray. I will forgive them of their sins, heal their nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that's what every nation needs to do, isn't it? That's what every person needs to do. Today we're talking about giving thanks to the Lord, taking time to give thanks. And oftentimes we think, you know, when we're going through difficult times in our life, how is it that we give thanks? Well, that chapter, if my people who are called by my name will pray. That means turning our hearts and our concerns and everything about our life over to Him. He hears us, and He works out the details through our prayer that we voice to Him. And here in this letter, Paul, it's a letter of blessings of redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. And when we read this chapter and you follow along, beginning with verse 3, from the very beginning of the foundation, you know, we were chosen and justified by Christ, and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. So all the way through here, Paul is saying, praise, praise, praise. Give thanks. What we have in Christ Jesus. So follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, and I'll read through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. I like those two words, in love. In love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intentions of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions or sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made us known made known to us the mysteries of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. He works everything out to the counsel of His will. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, and there's what Paul would say, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, in Romans 10:13. The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possessions to the praise and his glory. Boy, I tell you what, I love that passage of scripture. I just could sit there and read that all day long and just and know what Paul is saying and what we have in the Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all right there. And that's why the Bible says we are to give praise and glory for everything, the blessings that we receive from him. A teacher was, it was during Thanksgiving week, and the teacher was asking each child in the class to state what they were thankful for. One thing that they was thankful for. Went all the way through the classroom, got to the last little boy here on the front row here, and teacher said, "What are you thankful for?" And he said, "My glasses." And she said, "Well, yeah, you're thankful so you can see better." He said, "No, that's not why I'm thankful for my glasses." She said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I'm thankful for my glasses because it keeps the boys from hitting and fighting with me and the girls from kissing me." So that little boy had a real good perspective about gratitude, didn't he? You know, sometimes we see things and have different perspective than other people, and sometimes our perspective is different than God. But when Paul spelled it out to us about what blessings and to be thankful for, then we need to say, yes, be thankful for the Lord, for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the work of the Trinity in our lives. And see, oftentimes Scripture will tell us we are to do something, but does not always tell us how, right? For example, how do we love our enemies or walk in the Spirit? The truth is that God's Word is not a step-by-step guide, because it is, if it were, then we would easily find a passage of Scripture that fit our situation and close our Bible and walk away. I've been in different situations and I've had people quote Scripture or read Scripture to me, and then they would give their interpretations of that, and I said, "Is that your interpretation or is that God's interpretation?" Well, oftentimes they say, "Well, it works for me." And I said, "Well, you need to look at that very carefully and read and get what the Scripture is saying, how we are to apply it to our lives." So, instead of what we think, our perspective, I think the Lord wants us to seek him and learn about his ways. And I was thinking about a couple scriptures here in Psalms. Psalms 119, if you want to turn there and mark them. But I want to read these two. First of all, Psalms 119, verse 105. And then verse 130. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And in verse 130, Psalmist says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, are we simple or are we always complex? Well, I want to think. Trying to think that we try to think on the simple ways. If we make it too complex, then we make it confusing for ourselves. But the Scripture wants us to be simple in understanding what God has to offer in our lives. So it says it's for the simple. You know, God didn't come into this world to make things difficult and hard for us, and sometimes we do that on our own. He wants us to understand of his love. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is saying, you know, everything that Christ Jesus did for us from the very beginning of foundation till the justification that he went to the cross to when he sealed us, when we accepted him as personal Savior, he did all of that in love. What great love that he had for us. So why not we take each day to thank the Lord for what he has done in our lives? An example of this can be found also in Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. Follow along with me. And this is about the Christian conduct, how we are to act, how do we are go about our Christian life. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonishing the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for the one another and for all people. And then Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, it is God's will that we praise him. Even in our difficult times, even in our good times, we are to praise him because we know that God is in charge of all things. When devastation hits, just like it did in the Philippines, you know, we think, man, how can we praise God? How can we thank God? You know, we don't thank God for the devastation that happens in, but what that God is going to be with us and be the sustainer of life because he's the creator of all things. And this earth is not the end. This earth, this life is not the end. If we could put on our eternal visions, our eyesight could see far beyond this present state right now and see into eternity, which we're not able to do. And we can't even comprehend because oftentimes the Bible says that the things that happen, that God's word even is a mystery to so many, and especially those that do not have faith. But those that have faith can have a better understanding that God's love is greater than anything else and will sustain us in this life now and through eternity. And if we can take time to praise God, we'll have a better understanding of his love. We'll have a better understanding of who God is and his creation and his plan and his will for our lives, rather than dwelling always on the negative, on the things in life. If we can just say, Lord, man, my life is just a wreck. It's a wreck, and I don't know what to do. But I know that you do. You have a plan and you have a purpose for me. And I just surrender my life to you. You see, that's what God wants. And see, it changes the whole picture and concept of everything in our life when we say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Just imagine how difficult it would be for us to understand when Christ said, not my will, Father, but your will be done, that I go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. You think it was difficult for Christ? It was in the standpoint that he did not want for one second to be separated from the Father. But he knew it had to be done. The Father knew it had to be done in order that yours and my sins be forgotten, erased, and done away with eternally, that we might have a place, according to what the Scripture is saying right here, our redemption, our sonship. We are all adopted into Jesus Christ. We're his children now. We become his when we're willing to give up our own ways. And we need to give up our own ways every day, just not occasionally, just not when we feel like it, or it looks good, feels good, But every day of our life, we need to give up our own self in order that the Heavenly Father will have His complete will over our lives. See, He wants to be a part of our life every day, just not when we think we need Him. And that's why we can give Him thanks, Lord. You know, no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what's going to happen today, I know that You're with me, You'll see me through this, and I will be better for it. I will be stronger. And you see, when we walk with Him daily, we can better understand the things that occur in our life is to build us up, to make us stronger, to give us more faith, to help us to realize that God is in control of all things. He's in control. And if we'll just learn to depend upon Him and understand that He's going to work everything out for the good to those who love Him, who are called according to His will, then we can have that peace of understanding that He wants us to have to sustain us. In Ephesians chapter 1 here, it begins a lengthy passage that praises God for what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. And this is a complex sentence that I just read here, and it's difficult to really analyze. However, Paul heaped praise upon praise and thought leading to another, which then would remind him of another. And you can see the flow of this scripture here this morning. See, this section forms a blessing. This whole section forms a blessing, in Hebrew called harakah, and often used in the Jewish liturgy. It is a eulogy for God and for all the blessing He has given His people and will give His people to generations to come. So we're on a part of the blessings that's already been received, are being received, and will be received in generations to come. So in this introduction, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul summarizes the Trinity's plan for the church. In verse 4, he says, the Father's work of love in choosing us to holiness. You see, in verse 4, He chooses us to holiness. Now, that's a blessing if He chooses us. And then the sonship is that He has adopted us into His family. And what a great family to be a part of, right? The family of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, that's another blessing. This whole chapter is full of blessings. And then in verse 6, we are accepted. When we accept His Son, He accepts us. And then in verse 8 and 9, to receive the knowledge of His will. So when we become His children, see, we are able to receive the knowledge of His will. That knowledge comes with understanding. And then wisdom He gives us to understand the whole picture that God has laid before us as His children to understand His kingdom. Because the Bible says that Jesus told His disciples, I am building My kingdom. My kingdom is coming. And they said, well, when it's going to be here? He said, you're in it now. You're a part of the kingdom I'm establishing, and you will reign with Me one of these days. And we can go all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Moses, all of those, establishing His kingdom, and it all came through faith in the Heavenly Father. And in the church age now, as we know that we are under the umbrella of grace, we are part of that faith building that started from the very foundations of the earth, because the Bible said, before the foundations of the earth, He has chosen you. Now, here's the part. He has chosen us. We had to choose who? Him. We have to make a choice. Yes, I want to be a part of your kingdom. And that, just not eternally, but his kingdom now. And you see, it is our individual responsibilities to be a part of building God's kingdom. So he has given us the opportunity. He has given us responsibility to be a part of building his kingdom. Now, we all like to build things, right? We all like to, and a lot of us build it from instructions, right? we buy something, we had to put it together and go through all of that. Well, God has given his plan right here, hasn't he? All the instructions that we need how to build our life and build a kingdom of God and be instruments and ambassadors of that and ministers to that, the instructions is laid out real clear. And the blessings will unfold bountifully if we will follow the instructions day by day, every moment of our life. So that's the precious part of building God's kingdom and understanding that. Now, when it comes to the sonship in verse 4, or verse 7, it says the Son acts of saving us. That's verse 7. And being the head of all creation, verse 10. And then when we get to verse 13 and 14, it says the Holy Spirit work of making us secure. You see, we all want to be secure. We, you know, families, wives, husbands, they want to be secure. Children want to be secure. Well, right there is enough for me. You know, verse 13, 14 is the best spiritual insurance policy that you and I can have, isn't it? We all have insurance policies, right? Life or and so forth. But does everyone have a spiritual, eternal life insurance? And when the Bible speaks of being sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise, that means you are secure. And what best security can we have in that in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? See, Paul first praised God, saying that God was to be blessed. And the Greek word is eloquos, comes from the verb meaning to speak well of. It is an Old Testament benediction meaning to praise when people bless God. To say, blessed be God, we are blessing God by recognizing and attributing worth to him. Because Paul was contributing worth to Jesus Christ because what he did for us. And that's why we are to praise him. It's a word of praise and reverence. In the New Testament, it's a particular word translated both blessed and praise. And it's only when speaking of God. So, when we think of praises and prayers lifted up in the name of Jesus to sustain us, to protect us, to praise him, just to thank him, is noteworthy. I talked to Bill Hughes last night, and Bill hasn't forgotten how God protected him. His little accident there. It wasn't little, though. It was pretty big, wasn't it, Bill? Bill was telling me last night that he knew that he shouldn't have went back working on that tree because he had already been given an instruction not to do that. And she's not sitting too far from him this morning. And she wasn't at home. So men sometimes take things in their own hands, don't we? Don't we, guys? But this was the key for Bill. And it's the key for all of us. Knowing that sometime we're going to set ourselves up to danger or being injured or hurt or something. the best source to go to is the Father, isn't it? So Bill said, I quote, "Before I did anything, I prayed, Lord, keep me safe." Is that right, Bill? Keep me safe. Keep me from harm. Because I know I shouldn't be back here. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I was told not to be here. But I'd rather deal with you than with him. No, you didn't say that, did you, Bill? He was thinking. And we know what the outcome was. Bill was injured severely there with trees bouncing up, hitting him in the chin and knocking him so many, 15 feet or so back. So walking away from that shows us the grace of God. So, you know, we pray, and in spite of our weaknesses sometime, God will honor our prayer. But I told Bill, I said, Bill, God still taught you a lesson from that, right? He said he did. The things that we shouldn't do when we do it anyway, and then we find out the results of that, it is truly a learning experience. But to close in this message this morning, I want us to understand that God is on his throne. He does care for us, because it motivates us to look for God's purpose in everything. I don't know if you've read much about Helen Keller, about her life, her blindness. She contributes God's glory and praise for all of that. But this is one quote from her. She says, "I thank God for my handicaps." That's a quote from her. "I thank God for my handicaps, for through them," sounds like Paul, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul. "For through them I have found myself, I have found my work, and I have found my God." Boy, what a testimony right there. Through my handicaps, I have found myself, my work, and my God. So when we think about the praises that we offer up to God, may we be like Helen Keller with our handicaps, with our setbacks, with our situations in life. We can find ourselves in Christ Jesus because he surrounds it all. He's right there for us. And all we got to do is just call upon his holy name, and he'll be there. Amen? He'll be there. Then when it's all said and done, and you see the final results, what God will do in our lives if we turn to him and surrender our life to all things, then the last two words that we can say to him is, "Thank you." Let us pray. Father, we just bless your holy name this morning. We thank you for loving us, caring for us, dying for us, meeting our needs, giving us things, Lord, that we can't even imagine, and especially spiritual blessings. Lord, when we enter into this sanctuary, sometimes we enter with a lot of things, a lot of heavy burdens, a lot of heavy things in our life. And all you ask of us is to lamb at the altar. Because it's not your will that we carry the world upon our shoulders. Because you do want to help us. You do want the best. And Lord, you ask of our best, and that is our service to you, our life to you. Because we cannot repay you for what you did for us over 2,000 years ago. But we can give you our obedience and our commitment. And that's what you want. You want ourself. And that way you can mold us and make us and into anything you want us to be. And we would be better for it. So Lord, I pray this morning, whatever the situations are in our congregation this morning, you know everyone's heart, you know everyone's desire, you know every need here. Lord, may we do a deep search inside and say, Lord, I surrender all to you. And like Helen Keller, she found herself, her work, and she found you through what she called through her handicap, her blindness. She gave you the praise, because without that, she was saying, I might not have found what I needed most. So Lord, speak to our hearts right now with your Holy Spirit. And reveal to us what change, what we need to do, what we need to surrender, what we need to give up, or whatever you're calling us to do. May we have the faith and encouragement to step out and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, change me, mold me into your likeness. And we'll be the better and the good for it. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.